part of the conversation. Send us a WhatsApp message on +27 73 470 3520 or call us at +27 12 001 7679. Let your voice be heard. Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media. From broadcast to baptism.
Now, we're in the final quarter now. I know October is almost at the end as well. And as you're near the end of the year, it's good. It's always a good idea to evaluate your financial situation to determine how well you've progressed towards your goal and whether you need to make any adjustment, especially for the new year, right? You can't be only doing that on the first of the month of the new year. At this point, we all know that success, it doesn't happen by accident. I mean, that was our stewardship corner, right? To say, what is it that you need to do in order for you to be successful, or need to do in order to be a failure? So nothing happens by accident. So it's important then to be intentional in our goals, be it financial or otherwise. So what task do we need to accomplish to mark off our checklist for this year and in order to prepare for an even better 2024? And joining us on the line to guide us is Mr. Witness Kamara, who is a chartered financial analyst and a credit executive. Good evening to you, sir, and welcome to Adventist World Radio.
Thank you very much, sir. And, you know, I just want to check, have you filed your tax returns?
Well, why the violence? Why are we starting with violence? Yeah, anyway, and I think that's the whole point. That's what we're talking about, to say, hey, there's only one way to measure and you must make sure you're in order. Unfortunately, I haven't yet, I won't lie. I have not yet done that, but I'm sure I will be on that presently.
Yeah, because today is...
deadline.
Is the deadline. So that's one of the simple things that you just need to keep in check, you know.
And maybe let's start there, Mr. Kamara. And I love how you just went for the jugular there, because I think when we're talking financial goals, and especially with the year-end checklist, it might be a futile exercise if there is no checklist at all. In other words, there were no goals set, there were no deadlines put in place for the year. Therefore, there is nothing to checklist. There is nothing to tick off to say, we did this and we did this. Actually, you must not start now guessing, by the way, what did we do this year? By the way, we went and bought that. Okay, maybe that's a positive. I don't even know if it's a positive or negative. We went and started this. And then you must start guessing. But if you had a checklist as the year began, which is what I'm hearing you, that things have deadlines. And when the deadline comes, you must be under pressure now to say, hey, have I done this? Am I right or am I wrong on this one to say, we actually need that before we even talk financial checklist?
Yeah. No, that's right. I think there's a lot that you have to do personally. And there's a lot that you have to do from a regulatory perspective. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot that you have to do from a future planning perspective.
Okay.
So, you know, if you are a person that does December holidays, for instance, you need to make sure that you have enough for that, call it week or 2 weeks, okay, whatever it is that you prefer to have with your family. Mm-hmm. There are people that like to spot it across the year, and that's also okay. So it's possible that you've done it, and then you will carry the, call it December shift at work or whatever it is that you do.
Okay.
And then from a regulatory perspective, you just need to make sure that you file your tax returns. Otherwise, SARS will, you know, when it comes to... what do they call it? Death and taxes. You know, that's certain. You know, you can't negotiate with the tax man. And today is the day you're supposed to submit your tax returns today. And if you haven't, I would suggest that you do so before midnight.
Before midnight. Yeah, that's very important. That's very important. I like how you mentioned this issue of spotting it through the year. Is it a good idea to then group everything, especially talking about the preps for December, like you were saying, to say you will just see it when the need arises and not sort of like space it out so that it's not such a burden across the year?
So I personally prefer spotting it because I like to be at home in December. So I don't like traveling in December. So I like to do midterm breaks and the longer school holidays, like the one that we had in August.
Yes.
At the end of this week, for instance, my kids are going on midterm, and those are the type of thing that I will actually use to go out and be away from everything. I find that December is, firstly, it's not even a financial point. It's congested. But then it's also expensive.
That's what I wanted to say, that also because everyone is thinking this is the high period, then things get a bit more pricey.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. Coming back to the issue of looking at the year that was, right? We're in the final quarter, like we were saying, and sometimes perhaps things have not gone according to plan and that's obviously, like we said in the beginning, for those who've had a plan for things not to go according to. Looking back on this and reflecting, do you think that it's going to be a disaster for some? And if that's a recipe for disaster and disappointment, would it be better then to kind of not get into that period, especially if you kind of already know in the back of your mind that hey, it hasn't been a good year, rather than not go through the exercise of looking at the checklist?
Look, 2023 has not been a good year because from a regulatory perspective, we were chasing inflation.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, we raised interest rates quite a bit.
Yeah.
Right. And for anyone that actually got into debt during the crisis at the low interest rates that we saw then, this is a tough time.
Yeah. Especially for those who picked their debt limit and thought, I can afford this expensive house now because it's cheap, they're crying.
Correct. So it's a tough time, and I don't think that it's time to let go of those assets. That's what one wanted at that point in time, right? But one just needs to work around that.
Okay.
And December is the festive season is one of the periods that will alert you to that fact that perhaps you can't indulge in what you could before.
Nice.
Because interest rates have essentially gotten you to a point where your disposable income has shifted quite significantly.
Maybe let's circle back to something you mentioned here regarding don't let go and maybe try and adjust. What does that look like? What does that mean to say adjust, especially if you, like you're saying, you're kind of drowning, basically you're underwater, everything is above you and you're far stretched thin. What does that look like? Is it meaning, and then especially when you say don't dispose, I mean, this thing, can't you rather downgrade? Is that not an option?
The thing with long-term assets is that it's not easy to dispose of them.
Mm-hmm. Especially if it's in the early years.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Correct. So you might try to go and dispose of that asset, but if you want to do it quickly, you won't get value for it.
Mm.
And by value, I mean what you paid.
True.
Or at least close to what you paid.
True.
And after costs and expenses, etc. And so that's why I say, look, if that's actually what you had decided to do at mm-hmm. that point in time, then perhaps just hold on to it and cut back on other things.
On other expenses.
That's right.
That's quite some sage advice, and then quite contrary to what we usually hear from financial experts. Usually they're saying, you know what, get rid of that house, get a smaller house. Yes, you might pay a bit more for it, but it would definitely be less. Get rid of that car, whatever that asset was that you got during the crisis time, like you said. But yeah, you're saying, but maybe you might lose out. Rather cut out on something else and keep that heavier debt, but it might pay off in the long run. Quite some sage advice, and quite different, I must add.
Yeah. No, that's right, because there's a reason why you got that asset.
True. Mm. But sometimes maybe it was just to halang it. I thought I can now afford that 2 million rand house because the interest rate is at 7%.
Yes, that's right. But look, I think my perspective is that if you see that as what your family needs or you need, you know, and you actually make that decision, right? It's not a decision that is not considered.
True.
And
true.
In an environment like this, you know, if you get to a point where it's starting to choke you, you have two choices. Either you know, the value you would lose in getting rid of it on a fire sale is probably the same as what you would lose if you keep it and essentially hold the cost, particularly if you remain disciplined about everything else.
Okay. That's a very, very peculiar way to look at it. And I think something that is quite welcome in this day and age, what we really need to consider. Now, we spoke about those who are maybe not having a plan, right? But they're looking at how difficult the year is and they're wondering, should I even bother looking at a checklist, especially this time of the year? Maybe let's In trying to educate perhaps and getting others into the habit of having this plan, which you can come third quarter next year, you have that checklist and you say, okay, year is almost done. How are we tracking so that we know where we're going to be ending for the year? What would be some of those items that one would be having on this financial checklist for the year end?
No, I would say one needs to keep debt in check. I think 2023 is a year that has shown us that, you know, you can't overstretch yourself. So essentially watch that interest line item, because interest rates have escalated across the board. As a consumer, inflation has also been a significant line item for consumers. So if you're employed, for instance, that's something that you need to have a honest conversation with your employer on to say, when it comes time for salary conversations, you need to know what that number is, not only for the basket, as it is described by Stats SA, but for your basket. Yeah, and that's where you need to start negotiating from. To say that you need to be honest with the people that you provide value to. Otherwise, you won't get that value back.
But don't you run a risk, Mr. Kamara, of I don't know, upsetting the tables? I mean, it was already a good deal, especially like you're saying, 2023 hasn't been that good, and by the outlook, next year doesn't look to be much better. And I'm all for getting your value's worth, right? But what's to stop and say, hey, but if you can't take what we've got, then perhaps we can release you and get somebody who we can afford. Because sometimes people are afraid, especially in this economy, to say, hey, let me not push the gift horse and look it too much in the mouth because I might end up on the street. How do we balance that?
But you see, being scared is actually the issue.
Okay.
Because the fact that you're being paid means that you add value.
You add value, yeah.
That's right. And if you play any game that involves money, you will want to pay the least for an asset.
Mm.
Whether it be Monopoly or anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially, that's what happens when you're in a corporate type of space.
Okay.
So you need to be honest and say, guys, this is what I need right now. I just had a child, and this is what I need for my child.
Mm.
I'm continuing my education, and this is what I need for my education. I'm buying a house, and this is what I need for my house.
Mm.
And it's either you get all of it or you meet halfway.
Mm. Mm.
But you need to be honest in these conversations.
I think you mentioned a word that I think most of people out there need to be very, very cognizant of its meaning, the issue of our value. And to say that you are actually contributing here. It's not a favor for you to be in this space. You are here because you've got something that you're bringing to the table. And you need to then say, okay, but these are my needs as well. And then I'm saying, let's meet somewhere. Otherwise, I might need to take my services elsewhere. And I think also that there are options. Usually when we're in a space, we think this is the best there is in life. No. There was a time where you didn't have this, and there will be a time where you won't have this. So there should always be that understanding that there are actually options out there.
Correct. Mm. Correct. Because you have something, you have value to add. And that's why you're at the table.
And I think there was some speaker was watching one of his lectures. He was making mention to say, sometimes we mustn't be too concerned about asking for a raise particularly. Yes, that's the conversation we're having currently. But that's not really should be the focus. Rather focus on increasing your value so that the ones who must pay you more are having no other choice but to pay you more because you're more valuable. But if you're still the same as yesterday and you've got really nothing extra to offer, they won't see the incentive as to why must we pay you more? You're really not doing much for us. So rather focus on increasing your value. Therefore, you then get to earn more. Not necessarily change companies so that you can get a bigger paycheck. Even in the same space, you can end up earning more because you're more valuable.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
You get things done.
Yeah. Mm. Okay, for some people, especially those who, I don't know, may not have stuck to the plan this year, the temptation can be to overcorrect for next year, right? And with the next purchases, be it with the next plan for the year, limit as much as possible in things. How can we set more realistic goals for the coming year, right? For 2024, something that we can achieve, but also not be too complacent and too limitistic so that we don't end up almost basically not setting any goals. We're basically now saying, let me just do as little as possible in terms of goal setting so that I can at least achieve. How can we avoid that to say, no, you still need to set something that you can push yourself, but be more realistic?
Yeah, so look, from my perspective, I think the most important thing to look at as an individual and as a family or as any group is your working capital. I think that cash is king.
Mm.
And at any point in time, you need to be as liquid as possible. That's
my
philosophy, you know, and for you to be liquid, you essentially need to avoid call it additional debt in this cycle and reckless spending. You essentially need to have cash because you never know what's going to happen with the uncertainty that we are unpeeling. We are unpeeling an onion right now.
All right. All right.
And you don't want to be that person that unpeels it and cries. Because you will cry. If you unpeel an onion irresponsibly.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But is there ever an opportunity that you, I mean, option that you don't cry? I mean, it's an onion after all. What, rather put in place measures? I mean, some say you must put it in water. Others say you must wear glasses.
There were periods when you could do that, right? Prior to the financial crisis.
True.
And once the financial crisis subsided. But this is a super cycle.
Hey.
Yeah. It's a super cycle. So you'll find that gold mining companies, for instance, they are continuing to print money because no one knows what is going to happen. And when that sort of leading signal is in your face, you need to be prudent in the management of your affairs.
Of your affairs, yeah.
Yeah, particularly when it comes to finances, because you actually don't know what's going to happen next. I think when we started this cycle, there was cryptocurrencies, there was low interest rates, you could get whatever you want. And everyone thought that they were going to make it. But it's turning now.
Yeah, yeah.
But no one knows where the bottom is. Even the Federal Reserve Bank in the US cannot tell you that at this point in time.
So the counsel that you are giving us, Mr. Kamere, is that in your goals, in your setting of whatever objectives you have for the new year, limit spending, limit debt as much as possible. Rather have the money in hand that you say, I have money to spend on something, but I'd rather have it there so that I can utilize it when I need it.
Correct. It's a wait and see approach.
Oof. And I mean, right. in your professional perspective, I mean, you are in the finance space. How far ahead are you seeing us being in this cycle? Like you're saying, it's a super cycle. Next year, okay, the outlook is still bleak. How far ahead do you think we'll still need to be having this kind of an approach?
So, I think the thing is, it's not a financial discussion.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
It's also a behavioral discussion as well. Right. So, for instance, for a retailer such as Spa, if you had the busiest Spa in 2019,
okay,
it might not be the case right now.
True.
Because your clientele are essentially 75% working from home. So it's a complete shift in everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
That you have to consider right now. There's emigration. And therefore, your market, when you want to sell a home, for instance, has completely shifted.
True.
Because everyone is trying to sell a home. So, if I were to come to you right now and say that I can give you a crystal ball that says this is how it's going to work out with this particular, call it disruption, I'd be lying. And that's why I say essentially to be as liquid as possible is the best solution.
Oof. Yeah, that is quite something. And I like the honesty, though, because sometimes, especially with the people who are experts, they feel pressured to give what they would think is an expert opinion to look clever. But you're saying, hey, this one here, we're in new territory here, and no one really knows what's going to happen tomorrow. Let's just hold it, hold our bells. I know we've got them tightened, but you also want to hold the pens just in case something happens and they keep falling. And I think it's a... Yeah, I love how you bring it across to a behavioral conclusion. It's really about the pattern that you as an individual are going to be having, because things are not the way they ought to be out there in the economic space. So you need to be the one who controls your own narrative as it stands. And is it not the best time for taking risks? Someone says this could be the time. I mean, if you win now and things kind of settle out going ahead, you might be then have made a score.
Look, I think the time to take risk is gone.
Mm-hmm.
I think that we saw that in 2020. You can talk to Sasol investors, for instance,
mm-hmm.
and they'll tell you that that's when it happened, when everyone is essentially, from a behavioral perspective, got scared.
Yeah.
And every single asset was up for... you know, up for grabs.
Yeah.
But, you know, now is not
risk-taking time.
Because with high interest rates from a debt procurement perspective, comes high interest rates from a cash depositing perspective.
Okay.
So you actually don't have to take risk to make money. You just put your money with the bank and you will make a multiple of what you would have made in 2020 and 2021.
Okay.
Mm.
Hmm. All right. That's a fascinating. And I think that's something that we don't consider.
Yeah. Low risk investment. Just make sure that it's on a long-term basis. Because, you know, you could look to retailers and say, okay, fine, retailers are coming back now, but there's inflation. And so the consumer, him or herself, cannot support that retail valuation. You know, you could say, you could look at the banks, but the banks essentially... are exposed to entities that look at the retailer. So the banks are exposed.
Yeah.
You could look at mining companies. You could look at, let's say, gold mining. That's a hedge in this type of economy. I think it, just prior to COVID, the gold price was about $1,200.
Mm-hmm.
And it's now close to $2,000 per ounce, because no one understands what's going to happen.
Mm.
But things could turn, and it could go to 1,000,
yeah,
overnight. So that's speculation.
Rather keep the money.
Why?
Yeah, I hear you. Rather keep the money.
Which is why I'm on cash.
Yeah, rather keep the money, because the markets, anything can go anyway. Yeah. At this point in time. Oh, Mr. Kamara, unfortunately, that's about all the time we have for this evening. I don't know, what's your final thoughts as we wrap up today's session? What would you want to leave the listeners with?
No, I'll just say that, look, I think no pressure. This is a very difficult part of the economic cycle. It's one that we don't have a close grip on. And just be careful and ensure that you're as liquid as possible until we get to a point where, you know, we get further clarity on what the way forward is, because the rate hiking that we've seen over the last 12 months is not normal.
Yeah.
And so you need to have money in the bank.
All righty then. Thank you so much.
And not borrow.
Don't borrow. Don't borrow. have the your own and don't borrow. What a lesson. Thank you so much, Mr. Kavera. Thank you. Really appreciate your time this evening. And I think some sound advice, right? And I think one for me that is a take home is actually just having the cash, you actually end up making more money than people who are venturing out into investments and buying commodities and the likes. Just having cash in the bank is going to bring you more returns. Thank you so much for that. And we really appreciate your time this evening.
Thank you.
All righty then. There you have it, my friends. Ian, Mr. Witness Kamera, they're talking to us this evening regarding matters of financial wisdom, especially as you come towards the end, right? We were looking at the year-end checklist and what it looks like. And his counsel is don't beat yourself too hard. It's been a tough year. And it's still going to be a tough year. But also, that doesn't mean you must then be complacent and sell yourself short. No. It says change pattern of thinking. And remember, in this kind of environment, cash is king.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.